This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being here as we cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley and keep tabs on what's happening in Salem with the Oregon State Legislature. State Representative Alex Scarlatos on with us now. Alex, thanks for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So over halfway through your first session, as you kind of look back over the last few months, how do you feel like it's been going for you?
It hasn't been going too bad, but that being said, the controversial stuff is still in front of us. I think I mentioned I've got my Ibogaine legislation that looks like it might actually pass, which I'm very excited for. And then, you know, yesterday, I think we did the bill poll on 3551, which is my immigration bill. So I think for a freshman, I think I'm doing pretty well, if I say so myself. Got my feet underneath me now that we're almost done with session. And I think it's we're doing whatever we can to stop some of these terrible Democrat bills.
We'll talk about HB 3551 more in a moment. What do you feel like the biggest surprises have been versus what maybe you were expecting when you walked in there in January?
I think I might have mentioned this before, but just how collegiate everyone is. I mean, we can go from arguing with the Democrats to the House floor to eating lunch with them. I think most people there are grown up enough to realize that politics is one thing, but you still need to have relationships with each other. And that's something that I frankly just didn't expect.
Interesting. Of course, a lot of procedures, a lot of little details to keep track of. And were you surprised? Have you been surprised at the amount of reading you've got to do to keep track of everything?
No, to be honest, that's kind of what I expected. I frankly thought there would be more reading. We have, you know, a legislative council, which is a bunch of lawyers that work for the state capitol that help us write our bills. We just kind of need to fact check and edit them. And then we each have two staff members who work for us full time as well, at least while we're in session, and they help read the bills and make any corrections that need to be done. And then they also track other legislation that's coming through. So, for instance, while I'm in committee hearing one bill, my chief of staff Elias can be reviewing another bill that I'm going to be working on immediately after or voting on the floor later that same day.
So let's go back to HB 3551. Talk about your work on that, trying to update or change the state sanctuary law. How is that going?
Well, I wouldn't say it's going great. It's a bill that I brought because I thought that it would be common sense enough to maybe pass. What it does is it just requires, it doesn't even actually require anything. It allows law enforcement agencies in the state of Oregon to cooperate with ICE if they want, and only for violent felons, sexual offenders, and some Class A misdemeanors. And so what that was targeting, of course, was just getting the worst of the worst out of our country. If Oregon still wants to be a sanctuary state, we at least won't stop law enforcement agencies from cooperating with ICE just for the most heinous of crimes. And unfortunately, that didn't even get a hearing in committee. It didn't go anywhere. So we did something that's called a bill poll on the floor and made everyone take a vote on the floor of the House on whether to pass this bill or not. And unfortunately, it did not pass. Some Democrats voted for it, specifically the ones that are in the swing seats. And I think they did so strategically, but they made sure that they had just enough votes to kill it.
So where do you go with that effort from here?
From here, it's pretty much done. We have to probably try again next year. Hopefully, there'll be some more moderate Democrats, or maybe we'll pick up some more Republican seats. We might try it in the for the short session as well, but it's just unfortunate because, again, we have Representative Reschke has a piece of legislation that just outright bans Oregon from being a sanctuary state, and this was kind of my compromise to try to get something that would actually pass. And even then, there was a lot of Democrats, most of them obviously, that did not want to see this done, and I thought it was frankly the most common sense piece of legislation. I mean, most, even people that are here in this country illegally, don't want to share a community with someone who's a violent felon or a rapist or a murderer or what have you.
Did you have any chance to talk with law enforcement folks about this bill in particular?
Yes, and frankly, law enforcement was the reason that I brought this bill. I spoke with some, and one ICE agent in particular wanted to see this get done because they, when they arrest people that are convicted, they get zero cooperation from the state of Oregon. They have to do all of their own background research to figure out where people are or where they're, where and when they're getting released, and then ICE has to go and detain them on their own with zero help from the state of Oregon. So this would just, again, allow the bare minimum of cooperation just for the worst offenders.
And for the ICE officials, how do they look at this Oregon law versus the situation in a lot of other states where it is not like this?
Well, obviously, they would have loved to have seen it pass. And again, it just makes their job that much harder when we're a sanctuary state and don't even help them get all these heinous criminals out.
Let's talk about, of course, making big national news the other day, the arrest of the leader of what's been termed the largest fentanyl distribution network in American history, who happened to be living in Salem, Drug Enforcement Administration doing that with raids in five states. What was your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, I don't think he just happened to be living in Salem. When you're leading a national cartel that has distribution networks all over most of the western states, it would have made more sense for him to live in a place that was more centrally located, like Arizona or Colorado, for instance. But I think he specifically chose Oregon because of our sanctuary state status. So I don't think that's an accident. And I think that in part, that's why we chose to do the bill poll now, because if we don't have the goodwill and the public sentiment on our side now, we never will. And even though I think we do, again, Democrats unfortunately still voted against it.
Now, what do you see from this? Do you think that this arrest is going to maybe get some people's attention that might be convinced to ultimately shift their position on some of this?
To be honest with you, I don't think it will. Again, that's what we were hoping the bill poll would accomplish. We were hoping, because of the timeliness of this, that we would get more support from the Democrats. And unfortunately, I think most of them are still in favor of sanctuary state status, regardless of the crime committed. To be fair, I think that that will change over time. But I think this one instance, even though this was the largest fentanyl arrest in American history, I don't think that this is going to tip the scales for them. Unfortunately, I think things have to get a little bit worse before they get better.
What about if some of the federal changes lead to Oregon getting funding cuts, things like that, from the federal level because of the sanctuary law?
Well, I think that unfortunately might have an effect more than this arrest. And I frankly think that that's kind of sad and shows where their priorities are. They're more concerned with funding and money coming into government than the safety of their own citizens. But again, that kind of remains to be seen. We haven't seen any of the cuts so far. And I am honestly not convinced that the Trump administration is actually going to make cuts to law enforcement. They'll make cuts to other departments in the state of Oregon. You know, all of these departments, even like ODOT that has like a DEI department, I think agencies like that are going to see a lot of cuts, and then and only then maybe will we see some change. So frankly, I welcome it.
All right, more with State Representative Alex Skarlatos in a moment. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. State Representative Alex Skarlatos with us from the 4th District, the southern parts of Douglas County and down into Josephine and a bit of Jackson County as well. Let's switch gears on to some other topics. Both parties have talked a lot about wanting to get more housing production in Oregon. Everybody's got a shortage that people definitely... could see. Do you see anything happening to improve our housing in Oregon?
Nothing productive anyway. Unfortunately, the amount of money that we spend on housing, most of it goes towards programs like rental assistance and building government housing. We're not doing what we should be doing in freeing up more land for private development, at least not at the rate that we should. And I only say that because even if you believe government should be doing that work, the government builds housing at such an incredibly high rate cost-wise that it's not actually reducing market rate housing costs. And what I mean by that is we're building, you know, like government apartments cost about $450,000 a door, and that's at least in most parts of Oregon, you could build a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house for about that cost. And yet we're building apartments for that price. So it's just not sustainable and it's not cost effective. And again, we're using tax dollars to do this and we're not doing enough of it to actually make a dent at the overall problem. So that's why I'd like to see us free up more land for private development. Build up more in the cities, and I think that would be a much greater solution. I mean, the amount of regulation and hoops people have to jump through to build a housing development in this state is atrocious, and that's what I'd like to see changed more than government spending.
How do you see this housing shortage impacting the rural areas like your district?
Well, it's the problem is it's really a problem for the state overall. I mean, it's, you know, Portland, I think, feels it the most, but if housing becomes too expensive in Portland, then people live elsewhere. And that's why we're seeing this all the way down in Douglas County. And of course, we have our own housing issues here in Douglas County that we're dealing with as well. And even the government programs that Douglas County is dealing with, they just canceled an 80-unit build out in Douglas County for affordable housing. So even that state money that we should be getting is not coming to this county. And so that's why I disagree with the problem or with the program on every level. I think it costs too much and rural Oregon is not seeing hardly any benefit, at least not proportional to the rest of the state.
Now, you've talked before about your thoughts about gun legislation. There's been several proposals in Salem this time around. Where do they stand right now?
They haven't come to the floor yet, at least not the floor of the House. They're stuck, I believe, in Ways and Means Committee, where ideally they'll either get killed or parsed down dramatically. I don't trust them to kill the bill, and I think that they're going to have to let some of it go through just to appease some of their more radical members, but it's not popular even among their own caucus. A lot of more moderate Democrats or Democrats that own guns do not want to see this bill passed. And as a result, I think they realize how unpopular it is, especially with the rate of gun ownership increasing so much in the last few years. There's three gun bills, and I think they're probably, don't quote me on this in the future, but they're probably going to get rid of two of them and maybe parse down the third to where it's a little bit more reasonable. But that's a very optimistic outlook, and I don't trust them at this point. But we will see how it shakes out.
What are your priorities for the rest of this session?
Killing the gun bills and making sure my Abigail bill passes. that's about it. We're just hoping that the rest of the session goes smoothly and that there's no surprises. We have some huge omnibus bills, especially with like the ODOT budget. These just bloated government budgets that I'm going to vote no on. So I wouldn't say that that's necessarily a priority since I already know how I'm going to vote, but I would love to see some fiscal responsibility in Oregon, and I don't think we're going to see any Republican votes for these massive tax increases and department budgets.
Whether it's the gun bills or whether it's the ODOT package, it seems like a lot of the more heated legislation is all getting kind of shoved right into a corner for near the end.
That's, from what I understand, typically how it works. And they like to do it all at once, so you can't really pay attention to any one bill. And if you're upset about the ODOT budget, then they'll get the gun bills through. And if you're upset about the gun bills, they'll get something else through. So, yeah, from what I understand, that's typically how it works. Again, this is my first session, so I'll keep you apprised of what happens when we get there.
How many lawmakers are there that are around your age, either in the House or Senate?
There's a couple Democrats, I believe, that are, I think there's at least one that's younger than me, so I'm no longer the youngest person in politics, which is fantastic. But I'd say there's probably three or four, you know, that are plus or minus 5 years for me. So there's a few people representing the millennial generation in the House, and I think maybe even one in the Senate. So it's good to have some younger representation, and I think even some of the younger Democrats tend to be some of the more moderate ones, which is also interesting.
As a millennial, how do you see yourself looking at some of these issues differently as they come up?
Well, I would just say that I just have more of an eye to the future, especially with some of these large government programs. The budget only increases every year. You know, I think I've mentioned this before as well, but we could cut the government budget. I mean, just going back to the federal funding levels, we could go back to a 2001 level of government and not have to pay any taxes in the state, just using federal money that comes into the state. And I think most people would totally be happy with a 2001 level of government if it meant they didn't have to pay any taxes in Oregon. So we're seeing this exponential growth, and people that are my age and especially younger see that as a huge problem. It's not sustainable. And not to mention the massive levels of debt on the federal level as well. We just can't continue to grow government at this rate and still expect to own anything or have any freedom, you know, 10 or 20 years into the future.
What kinds of things are you hearing from your constituents in the 4th District?
Well, I mean, it might be just because it's my pet issue, but everyone down in Douglas County and Josephine County and Jackson County, they want to see the gun bills killed, and they don't want more taxes. Part of the ODOT budget is a 20-cent increase on the gas tax, which everyone hates and obviously would make everything cost more, not to mention your gas, but obviously products that are on shelves that are brought there by trucks, increase to the weight mileage tax, which is pretty much exclusively for trucking. I think those are the biggest ones, just because trucking is such a big industry here, and you know, people don't want to see the gas tax go up because typically people have to drive a good distance to get to any major metropolitan area to do any kind of real shopping and things like that. So I think those are the biggest issues, at least for our part of the state.
What is your favorite part of being in the legislature so far?
That's a good question. I would have to say working with some of the other Republicans. I worked pretty closely with Virgil Osborne from the Roseburg area. He's a great guy. And there's a lot of smart, great Republicans in our caucus that I absolutely love.
All right, out of time for now. We'll check in again soon. State Representative Alex Scarlatos, thanks for being on today.
Thank you.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.